Since 2007, Dr. Dugan Maddox, a nephrologist and consultant for Fresenius Medical Care, has combined her love of oral history with her other passion, nephrology. Along with the help of her husband, Dr. Frank Maddox, also a nephrologist, she created the Nephrology Oral History Project, which provides a unique glimpse into the development of renal therapy through the words of those who made it possible. Listen as Dr. Maddox reveals her inspiration behind the project and what she hopes others will take away from it. So how did you become interested in writing about oral history?
I was at a Renal Physicians Association board meeting with my husband, and some of the past presidents of the RPA, like Chris Blagg and John Sadler and Nathan Levine, stood up during dinner and talked about the early days of the Renal Physicians Association, and I had, by that time, already been doing some recording of oral histories just for more personal nature, and I thought, these stories need to definitely be recorded, and so I started thinking about the project at that time, and also because dialysis and renal replacement therapy had just this very dramatic period of development in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. It was just a lot of change in a very short period of time, and the physicians who were involved in that very innovative time were getting older. And so it seemed like if these stories were going to be preserved and told, that it, you know, we needed to go ahead and do that soon. So, and already by the time I started thinking about it, people like Belding Scribner and Joe Eschbach and Carl Gottschalk had died, and so we couldn't, you know, talk to them anymore. So I definitely wanted to try to make sure we could record some of the history.
And how did you develop the idea for the Nephrology Oral History Project?
I love stories, and I think even as a physician interviewing patients, talking about their present illness, all of that is a story. And so I always like to hear other people's stories, and I like to hear it in their own voices. So the way the stories are told, I think, are really important, and the details of the story. And when people are talking, they will often tell parts of the story that they wouldn't take the time to write down, and I think that is very valuable. And the oral history, for me, in recording these histories of the nephrology history, I can go and do this by myself. The equipment is just my recorder and me, and so it's very simple. It's not very intimidating to sit down and talk to someone when it's just the recorder. So I think that the oral history provides more information than just writing the history down, and in hearing someone tell it in their own words has a very special value to it. And so that's why I like the oral history.
How have you chosen which nephrologist to interview?
I started the project by interviewing Bob Gutman, who was a nephrologist and a friend of mine. And he trained with Dr. Scribner in Seattle in the early 1960s. And as I began to talk to people, including Bob Gutman, I began to develop a list of names of people who seemed to be very important during that time, who were working on dialysis in the 1950s and the 1960s. And the second interview I did was with John Sadler, who I knew through the Renal Physicians Association. And both John and Bob had ideas about who to interview. And so as I began to do the interviews, my list just began to grow. And I really tried to early on focus on nephrologists who were involved in the early days of dialysis, particularly nephrologists and physicians who had worked with Dr. Scribner or John Merrill. But recently, I've also started to interview some early patients and nurses who were taking care of early patients, and I think that's also a very important part of the history.
How have their perspectives differed from the nephrologists?
For the patients, of course, having lived through it, who have had Scribner shunts put in, who have been dialyzing on Kiel dialyzers, I think their story, their personal perspective is just an amazing perspective. And Joanne Albers, who was the nurse who opened the first chronic outpatient dialysis unit in Seattle, not only was a nurse in that early unit, but also was married to one of the early patients, Jim Albers. So she and these early patients have a lot of perspective on how the equipment functioned, what day-to-day life was like on dialysis with the early equipment and the early access issues and the complications related to chronic kidney disease in the early days. So I think that's been an entirely different perspective compared to the nephrologists who were very involved in the innovations in the technology.
So typically, how long do you have to prepare for an interview?
Well, I do spend a little bit of time collecting some background information so that I just have a general idea if there are special things that I want to make sure that I cover in the interview. So I'll spend several hours preparing some background information and preparing a general list of questions.
How and where do you conduct the interviews?
I've wanted to make it very easy. People are providing me with their time, which, you know, is hours of their time, just out of the goodness of their heart. So I try to make it as easy as I can for the interviewee. So I have, by and large, been traveling to where they are. And I also like to be in a comfortable, fairly quiet setting. Although we've done some of these interviews in restaurants and other places, they've not always been quiet. But we try to go to the setting of their choice. So I have traveled to offices and homes and dialysis centers and restaurants and have just been so happy that everybody has been very agreeable and worked hard to make it easy for me and to make set aside time for me, which has been really helpful.
And how long do the interviews typically last?
We're usually talking at a minimum probably for about 3 hours. Some interviews have taken longer than that. John Bauer and I spent a good part of a day recording on and off. But I do post a long primary interview on the website that might be an hour and a half or more long, but it has actually been edited a little bit because most of the interviews are at least 2.5 to 3 hours long.
How do you choose which portions of the interview to include?
It's been an interesting process for me because I realize how much power I have, you know, in picking certain things and leaving other things out. But I try in the primary interview to edit very minimally, just to take out things I think that, you know, were just an aside or a little more personal and not really something that they're for general listening. Although a lot of that is still included in the transcript that gets posted, is not there in the full interview. So those edits are fairly minor. The other edits where I've clipped out pieces, the smaller pieces for the slices that might be 5 to 10 minutes in length, or the tastings, which are 1 to 3 or 4 minutes in length, they really are things that I just think are the most important highlights of the interview. So it's a personal judgment, which probably has personal biases involved in it.
How have you enjoyed your experiences so far?
It has certainly been an amazing experience for me. The courage and the perseverance that are part of these stories is just amazing. I mean, there's Paul Teschen talking about dialysis, his dialysis unit in Korea, or Chris Blagg, you know, talking about stirring big Sweden freezers of dialysate with a paddle. Or I talked to Dick Drake, who drew up, you know, with Charlie Willock, the design for the Drake Willock machine on a napkin. So these stories are just, you know, amazing stories. It just reminds me how brave the medical people were to work on these things and how brave the patients and families were to just continue to be a part of this, working through this technique, this life-saving treatment. And I, you know, when I started as a nephrologist 25 years ago, I just took it for granted that the treatment was there. And it's just hard to imagine this time where people were dying with chronic kidney disease. And in this fairly short period of time, you know, 10 to 20 years, this life-saving treatment became readily available. Well, not readily available, but available. It's just an amazing story.
What have been your most memorable interviews?
I would say that talking with Eli Friedman, we went to a restaurant in New York City and sat there and talked about his friendship with Willem Kauff and about his learning about dialysis at the Brigham and traveling around the world to dialyze people was pretty, definitely an interesting interview. And then I met Frank Gotch at the Renal Research Institute offices in New York, and we talked about how he has always loved mathematics and has, you know, used his mathematics to and his curiosity about treatment to work on a lot of the innovations for dialysis, including the hollow fiber dialyzer development. So those are definitely were interesting interviews, but they've all been fascinating.
How long does the process take?
I would say that each interview probably takes somewhere from 15 to 20 hours. The editing and posting on the website all take a good bit of time.
What's your favorite part of the process?
It may be a tie between actually sitting in the interview talking with people, but also as I go back through the edit, and I'm just there listening to the voices. I hear things that I didn't hear before. I think that's also the beauty of an oral history, is you can become very focused on the words and not distracted by the visual part of watching someone. So I do think when I go back and just listen to the voices telling the story, I hear things that I did not hear before.
What are your future plans for the site?
The whole goal was to try to make these stories and this information very readily available. So, you know, just continuing to sort of support and expand the website, I think, is important. But I've also planned to break up the stories by topic. So, for example, I'll have on the website a Scribner shunt, and then the 15 parts of different interviews that all talk about the Scribner shunt. So I'm hoping that also in the near future, people will be able to go and say, oh, I just want to hear everybody talk about the Scribner shunt or the Kiel dialyzer. And it'll be very easy to do that.
What do you hope people take away from the project?
I think the most important thing is just the history itself, that we don't forget where we started and what it's taken to get to this place where we can treat chronic kidney disease and that people are not dying from chronic kidney disease. And also, I think this project and these stories help us to just remember what medicine is all about, that patients and care providers can work together to solve problems, and that innovations in science can make just such a big difference, and that people have to be willing to try new things and in order to move science forward.
Read the full interview with Dr. Maddox in Nephrology Times, in print, and also online.